and welcome to another broadcast. We're in Exodus chapter 33. Have your Bible ready if you can. Looking at chapter 33, we find Moses having another communication with the Lord. This is following the nonsense about dancing around that golden calf and all the sin that was involved in the children of Israel. And the Lord communicates again to his leader, and it says in verse number 1, the Lord said unto Moses, "Depart and go up hence, thou and the people, which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it." Well, God made a covenant promise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he is going to keep it. He says in verse 2, "I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." And he said in verse 3, "We're going unto a land flowing with milk and honey." But listen to this. He said, "I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." God said, I will drive out all those enemies, but I will not go up in the midst of thee. Now, Israel has made her choices, and Israel is going to have to suffer the consequences. We're all free to make the choices. We can make any choice we want. I can get in my car, and I can drive 75 miles an hour through every stoplight in our town here. I'm free to do that, but I'm not free to choose the consequences that will come from being so stupid. And here they are. They're making their choices, and they're facing the consequences, and we're doing that every day. God said, "I will not be in the midst of thee." That's not what I'm going to do now. This is what it's going to cost you for the way you've been acting and dancing around that golden calf, etc. Well, and when the people heard of these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. Well, they heard this, and they mourned. Now, is this a sign of hope, or is this some kind of a superficial surface thing? Well, we'll see. It says, verse 5, "For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee." And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. Now, what are these ornaments? These ornaments are something that has to do with an outward appearance. The dictionary says an ornament is a thing used to make something look more attractive, but usually having no practical purpose. It is a decoration adding to embellish something. Well, that's exactly what's going on here. It's going on today, too. We call it fundamentalism. And we got all our ornaments. We got all our surface stuff out here. And the outward appearance, oh, it helps us dress us up a little bit. Oh, yeah, we cut our hair and we got all these standards that we live by. And those are good things. But they're not pressing God with our ornaments. Well, in verse 7, we have the response of Moses. It says, "Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp." Now, this is interesting. This tabernacle is not going to be built until later on. The word actually means tent here. And he is going to take this tent, he pitches it afar off from the camp, and it came to pass, it says, that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Now, back in Hebrews 13, we read, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Now, we have a lot of people in this camp out here. But we see here that only the sincere are willing to go without the camp where Moses is and go out there in that place where they're going to worship together in this tabernacle. Only the repentant were willing to go without the camp. And so what we have here is the picture of a separation from the apostasy that is amongst God's people here. And the tabernacle, of course, representing a place of worship. And they said that's going to be without the camp. Well, it came to pass when Moses, verse 8, went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. Now this is, it says here, every man, that is, those who did not seek the Lord that we read about in verse number 7. They just stood there and they watched him go. Well, it says in verse 9, it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle that the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Now, isn't that interesting? They saw that the sign there was this cloud, that God was with Moses. Well, we don't care about that. We're just going to worship here in our tent door. And that was their decision, the bunch of compromisers. We're living in an age today when there's a big house church movement going on, and apparently about 70 million people have experimented with this in the United States alone. Well, no, that's not God's plan. You don't just get all ticked off because churches aren't going the way they're supposed to go, and a lot of them aren't. But you can't just say, well, let's just go and have a meeting over here in our house. No, that's what they did. This is old. I mean, this happened way back in the days of Moses. They said, well, we'll just worship every man in the tent door. Well, verse 11 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto a friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Well, the result of him separating from the camp when he's going to worship here is that God speaks to him as unto a friend. Well, we have Joshua here, and he's coming on the scene. He's going to take over for Moses eventually, but this young man just comes out of nowhere, and here we have him as Moses' assistant. And the Bible says he's a young man. He's preparing for responsibilities that lie ahead, and here we have Moses coming back to deal with the people. Now, as you go down through this chapter, we find that Moses has a desire for a close fellowship with the Lord. You'll find in verse number 13, he said, show me now thy way. He said in verse 15, if thy presence go not with me, then carry us not up hence. He said in verse 18, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Well, in chapter 33, 34 on through 40, they set up the structure here for the Sabbath, the structure of the tabernacle, all of the furnishings, the sacrifices, and we read in chapter 40 that thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. Now, if you study this same timeline in the book of Numbers, chapter 10, we find that about a year later, they depart from Sinai, and then we have Miriam's rebellion against Moses, and then they send spies in to spy out the promised land, but Israel rebels, and Israel is not going to go into the promised land. Moses once again intercedes for them, and they spend 40 years in the wilderness because of their rebellion. Well, as we get into the book of Joshua, we find that Joshua is commissioned by God. It says in verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. And he gives him some tremendous promises here, only he says in verse 9, be strong, be of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now keep in mind, they're going into the promised land. They're not going into heaven. I get so weary of the hymns we sing and talking about heaven being the promised land. Heaven's not the promised land. The promised land, we cross here, he says, now when you cross over the Jordan, be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid. You got all these enemies over there. I don't have any enemies in heaven. This is talking about having the victorious Christian life on earth. And so he was commissioned. Joshua then commanded the people. We read in verse number 10, he said, prepare ye victuals, pass over this Jordan, go in and possess the land. And there you have the three-point system where we're going to go over across the Jordan, which is a picture of death to self and a picture of the victorious Christian life with all of the battles that we have to fight on earth. Well, it says here in verses 16 through 18, they consented to follow Joshua. They answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whither thou sendest us we will go. Well, they said that to Moses too, and we see that they didn't always do it. Well, as we get into the promised land, we see Joshua, a story of the victorious Christian life with all the warfare that we have in this life. What we need to do, number one, is claim what is ours. Number two, have confidence in the Lord. And then we need to be having courage as we confront the enemy. We need to be committed, and we just need to keep on keeping on. We need to continue doing the things that God has told us to do. And for those that will do it, we have some tremendous promises here. Verse 5, he says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now that's his promise to Joshua. You can claim it as well. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God said, I made some promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now we're going to fulfill those promises. And Joshua, I'm going to use you to do it. God has made some promises for us too. And for those of us who are in a position of leadership, call yourself a pastor, call yourself a father, call yourself a husband. These are leadership positions that God has given to us. And all we need to do is get on with the job and get it done. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now here's the condition, and it's a condition for us. God says, if you want to be have my guidance and direction, he said, you've got to be in the Word. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Not pick and choose like some cafeteria-style religion. God says, I've got the book here, study it, meditate it, be in it day and night, and observe it to do, not just to get it into your brain cells, but to do it, to do it. And he said, do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so he says in verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And once again, not a picture of going to heaven. The promised land is crossing over the Jordan and winning all the battles on the other side. Well, we see in verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land. It's there. It's been given to you. God has promised it to you, where there's a lot more paid for than a trip to heaven when Jesus died on Calvary for us. He gave us also an opportunity to have a victorious Christian life here on earth. Well, this concludes our series on the pathway to the promised land. Here they are, they're crossing over, and you want to study the book of Joshua. It'll be a blessing to your soul as you see what happened on the other side of the river. Have you crossed over? Are you there? Or are you going to wander around in the wilderness for the rest of your life? Well, we're out of time again. Tune in again for our next broadcast. We'll try to make it plain, and we will try to make it simple.